All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. And verse number 1. To the church at Corinth, the apostle says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Father, bless this book now. In thy holy name, amen. And the Apostle Paul writes two letters to the church at Corinth and covers an enormous amount of material. And this, of course, is the writing of an apostle and writing to the church of God. And so it's very pertinent for us today, though it's 2,000 years old. It's just as relevant for us today as it was then. Nothing's changed. And the reason I know that is because when I read the Bible, the people haven't changed. So here we are, and we'll take what he says to them and apply it to us. The church at Corinth had some problems. Yes, it did. It's not the only one. All the churches, for that matter, have problems. So how do you know that? Because they got people. Amen. That's a simple matter. They're right. Just a simple deduction. They have people. They got problems. But we are not in here today to magnify and glorify problems. We're in here this morning to talk about the problem solver. That's what we're here for today. It makes any difference what baggage you brought through that door. Doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in. Doesn't make any difference really what you've done. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to that cross, he tasted death for you too. Don't ever let some hyper-Calvinist tell you that he only died for the elect and that the atonement of Christ is limited. Don't ever let that kind of garbage bother. Don't even bother to listen to it. That's junk. Amen. For the grace of God. My friend, this morning, I want to talk to you about the problems at the church at Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, in 1 Corinthians 1, that we have, look at verse number, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The scripture says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It's important for the work of the Holy Spirit that there not be strife and division and, you know, sectarianism and all this and that. Problem here, we had preacher followers. Not just that, but this was one of the main problems. And it's a good sign for you. It's good to love your preachers, to pray for them, respect them, and do all the scripture says about them. But folks, keep this in mind. They are just men. They are just men. And as the old cliche has it, the best of men are at best just men. And that's very true today. That includes me or anyone else that you may hear. So it's a good sign that you have a leadership problem at the church at Corinth. And the truth is, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul tells them plainly what the problem is. Now look at it, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Look at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Carnal, of course, has to do with fleshly. We have Christians, they're true believers in Christ, but they're all tied up in human ability, charisma, what the person's intelligence, his intellect, his experience, his stories, and this and that, and this and that. But they're tied up with the person and not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a sure sign of a babe in Christ. Amen. We respect our preachers, but my dear friend, I follow Christ, not a man. Amen. not a man. So I want you to keep this in mind this morning, and that is that if you want the power of the Holy Spirit of God, like you just witnessed a few moments ago, the Holy Spirit of God is in this church because Christ is glorified and not a man. It's not about our movement. It's certainly not about our buildings. It's not about all that people hold in high esteem. It's about the Son of God. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I am nothing. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 5, that without Christ, we can do nothing. Then in Galatians chapter number 6, in verse number 3, it says, when he is nothing. So what does that mean, preacher? It means that without the power of the Holy Spirit of God working through the preaching of the gospel, my dear friends, we can accomplish nothing more than anyone else in any kind of a business or any kind of a social atmosphere can get done. And that's not the church. There should be something in here that when people walk through that building, walk through that door into this building, they should sense, though they may not know what it is, they should sense, wait a minute, there's something in here. That's not out there. That's exactly right. And that's what the church is about. It's about a place of life, salvation, freedom, the gift of God, and the grace of God ministering these gifts to every last one of us today. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, they had another problem. And that is they had incest going on in the church. You say, my, can something like that happen in a church? Everything in the world's happening, folks. Today it's unbelievable at what you get into when you go into the average church in America. I was watching a thing on YouTube a couple of days ago in France. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but just type it into YouTube and do a search, and you'll discover that the Holy Spirit is moving in France in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. And they say, well, now, we didn't have anything to do with that. No, you didn't. And you didn't have to have anything to do with it. That's the word and the power of Almighty God. He does as he pleases, where he pleases, when he pleases, and he does it how he pleases. And he's working in France right now, and thanks be unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he talks about the problem they had with spiritual gifts. And they're all listed for us here in 1 Corinthians 12. And the problem is that when you get so spiritual that all you can think about is the gift instead of the giver, then you get into all kinds of trouble. And amen, have you seen that? Let me tell you, the most miserable person you'll ever be around, that's a spiritual Christian. Just get around some old humble dog that thanks the Lord for forgiveness and the fact that God's been good to him. And you'll be surprised at how it blesses your soul, because the Holy Ghost will anoint that. And that's everything. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, they had a problem with doctrine. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 12. In the scripture, it says this. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, that's just remarkable, because the apostle tells you in the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again according to the scriptures. If Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. This is all just vanity. In plain words, if there is no resurrection from the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, then, my dear friend, we have no gospel. And no gospel, there's no power. There's nothing. And so, therefore, they have attacked the very foundational truth of the gospel of Christ. There is no gospel without the resurrection. Yet they profess to have a church. And that's the problem in America today. They do have churches on every street corner, but they have no power. The Apostle Paul said, I came to you not in word or deed, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And that's what we need. We must have that. Why, preacher? Because it's going to take the power of God to change an ungodly life and change you from what you are to what God wants you to be. Well, don't you want that? Aren't you sick and tired of trying to do it yourself and see the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who's able to turn you completely into a new creature in Christ Jesus? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, they questioned the apostles' authority. In 2 Corinthians 12:12, the apostle tells them this. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, in verse number 12, he said, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. You cannot question the authority of the Apostle Paul. If you do, throw out half your New Testament.
Amen, preacher.
But there are those out there who do. My friend, the Apostle Paul was one chosen out of due season. He said, I'm a pattern for those that should hereafter believe. God saved Paul on the road to Damascus by a personal appearance to him. And then when he saved him, he made him the apostle to the Gentiles. And by doing so, he gave him the authority to write New Testament scripture. And most of the New Testament, my friend, these epistles are written by Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle. And yet the church at Corinth had those who questioned his authority and said, who do you really think you are? You're not one of the 12. You weren't one of the original. So what makes you think that you have the authority to write scripture? And the apostle Paul said, the signs of an apostle were wrought, the miracles and all that attended. And it did happen because he is certainly an apostle of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we read something else about the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 3. The apostle said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Boy, can we get very complicated, can't we? I mean, we can strut our stuff and show people how smart we are, can't we? Oh, yes. And I'm afraid that's what happens in churches sometimes. They forget how simple the gospel of Christ is. The simplicity of Christ. It's not about me. It's not about how much of my educational attainment and my fame and my this, that. It's not about me. It's about the Son of God. Amen. That's why I was able to get up this morning. That's why I'm breathing right now. That's why I'm alive right now. It's because I know who keeps me alive. And I know who saved me. And I know why I'm here. I know my election and calling. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. And this is why I give to you this morning what he's already given me. And he's given it to me so graciously. Praise be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But look at verse number 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or watch this now, you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel. See this? See how they go together? Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. You see what happens when you deviate from the true Christ into a false Christ? And when you do that, you pull another spirit in. The Holy Ghost will not bless a lie. The Holy Spirit will not exalt the wrong Christ. Amen, folks. And the problem is today the Holy Spirit is so absent from so many churches, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So all these problems that I just gave to you, the problems of the church at Corinth, what's the answer? Well, let's give you some answers that they would give. Form a committee. That'll get the job done. Form a committee. Just get some of the wealthiest men in the church together, most influential, movers and shakers, and get yourself one heavy-duty, high-powered committee, and you can figure out what's wrong with the church. Or you can bring in the denominational bigwigs and see what's trending, what's hot, what's the new programs coming down the pike. You better believe there's some churches plugged into that, and any movement, they are part and parcel of it. Or you could survey the people, see what their felt needs are. So if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit moving here at Temple, we could just take a survey of you and say, well, what do you think we need? How do you feel about this? What do you think? What this? And say, well, that's surely God would answer that. Or you could bring the mayor, the sheriff, the chief of police, and make it about everything but Christ. And I am all for the mayor. I'm not against the mayor or the sheriff or the chief of police. God bless them and what they're doing. They've got a lot of responsibility out there. No question about it. But this is not a political arena. This is not about politics. Politics will never save you. It's not about politics. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Shucks. Why not invite all the spiritual entities out there? While we could bring some witches in and start drumming down here like they do over there in Asheville, North Carolina. How about the New Age movement? They've got their Christ. Oh, he's almost like the true Christ if you don't know the true Christ. They can make him look awful good. How about a medium? We could have us a seance down here and bring some spirits into the place. I mean, we could really make this place spiritual, couldn't we? Yeah. How about bringing in the ecumenical figures that you see on TV all the time? All the faith community as they come together. Well, maybe we just should bring the faith community here into Temple Baptist Church and bring the power of God in like that. God forbid. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. What's Paul's answer to that? Note how he answers this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2. The apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now this is to be understood in context, all right? He has written two letters to the church at Corinth. He has dealt extensively with a lot of the problems that they have, told them how to deal with it, told them what to look for, and all of that. And that's what we have for us here in 1 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and that's all wonderful. But the apostle says that when I am going to deal with a spiritual problem going on in this church, he said, I'm going to preach. And he said, I'm going to preach Christ, and I'm going to preach him crucified. Now, you can preach Christ in a lot of different ways and preach the true Christ. Listen to me carefully. You can preach a survey of the scriptures, the themes of the Bible from book to book to book to book. And that's a good thing. And you can preach Christ through all of that. That's good. You can preach the doctrinal foundations of what we stand for, what we believe here at Temple Baptist Church. And in the process of preaching these doctrinal things, you can preach Christ. That's good. That's absolutely good. You could talk about church polity or the organization of the church itself, how it functions, how we come together as a body. That's good. And you can preach Christ in that. You can preach eschatology. That's simply a big long word that means the second coming or the end times. Eschatos is the Greek word that means the time of the end or the end time. And a lot of churches, that's all they talk about is eschatology. Because you see, it's sensational. You can sell books like that. You can say, now, just a few weeks away from the coming of the Lord. There's a bunch of garbage on YouTube that's got my face on there all the time. These wildcat YouTube channels. They didn't ask my permission. And there's at least 4, 5, 6 of them out there. And they take my messages and they put a headline on this thing as if I'm trying to say something that I did not say. They're using me. Amen. I want them to know you're liars and you're deceivers. I didn't give you permission to do that. I don't live in the sensational. It's not about me and it's not about sensationalism. Eschatology has its place. Yes, it does. But that's not what Christ said, what the apostle said, I'm going to preach to you. Or we can preach about the ministry. This is the foundational thing. How do we minister? Have the leading of the Holy Spirit. How do we reach people for Christ? How do we minister to the young people in this church, to the families in this church? Do we let them fall through the cracks, or are we there for them? Whether they've got a dime to put in the plate or not, we're there to help them. And that's a good thing. But the Apostle Paul said, I came to preach Christ and him crucified. In plain words, he's focusing his attention on the cross. He's saying to them, all these other things are wonderful, folks. God forbid that I would cast any aspersion upon them. They're good. But Paul said, I'm going to preach the cross to you. So what does that mean? It means that I'm going to preach the one that is lifted up from the earth to you. I'm going to preach the holiest place on this earth to you. I'm going to preach the one who died for your sins to you. I'm going to preach the love of God to you. And I'm going to preach to you what identifies you and tells you who you are. The cross of Christ is the only thing that really reveals our nature and who we are. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I will glory in the cross. The world's crucified to me in the eyes of the world. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to preach Christ and him crucified to the church at Corinth. That's a good thing. This is leading of the Holy Spirit of God. This is him saying, this is what God wants me to preach to you. And my friend, if we can't preach the cross, we got no message. The cross of Christ, it's a wonderful thing. I want you to give your mind to envision for just a moment. Outside the Damascus gate, going north out of Jerusalem, an Arab bus station across the street from the Damascus gate. And there behind it is this hill. And there is this rock formation. And that rock formation, when you stand back and you look at it, and you have to say to yourself, that looks like a skull. And there on top of that, 2,000 years ago, Lord God Almighty, the man Christ Jesus, was nailed to a tree and he hung there in front of that road, the road to Damascus, you know, the one that the Saul of Tarsus took. Remember him? They put the crucified next to Rhodes. The whole point is shock therapy. The whole idea is you mess with Rome, this is what we do to you. And so they crucified him. This is what he wants you to see this morning. If there's no cross in their church, in your church, there's no power in your church. If there's no cross in your gospel, you got no gospel. If there's no cross in your life, you don't know what it is to live for the Lord. Apostle said, I die daily. I preach Christ and him crucified to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth had its problems. It really did. It had its problems. But the truth of the matter is, the average church today in America, about the same. So, when Christ is preached, what happens? Number one, the demons shudder. They know who he is. Half the preachers in this country don't know who he is, but they do. You just get one demon. He knows exactly who he is. They even said in the New Testament, we know who thou art. Yeah, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Well, I have to say amen, demon. You got it right. Demons preach more truth than a lot of people do. Oh, they shudder. Are you uncomfortable when they preach Christ? Are you so accustomed to hearing yourself pumped up? I'm talking about how good you are and how wonderful, how you deserve this, you deserve that. And all just make it just a fluffy, fluffy, fluffy Christian life. That's not Christ's life, folks. That's a man-made gospel, if you want to call it that, for an affluent society. They got money. They got money. Cars, houses, land, bank accounts. This is why you can preach that stuff to people. Amen. Do you get tired of hearing about Christ? You feel like that, well, you know, preacher, he's good. That's all we need to hear about. But don't you think there's some other things that are necessary? Here's the thing that God took 50 years to teach me. The tomb means nothing without the cross of Christ. The virgin birth is irrelevant without the cross of Christ. The incarnation doesn't mean a thing without the cross of Christ. Let me set it in context. There's not a thing in that Bible that has any meaning to us whatsoever, that has any value whatsoever, except as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. How does it relate to him? How does it glorify him? How does it exalt his high and holy name? That's what's important. Does it lift him up? If the spirit in you gets tired of hearing about the Lord Jesus, you've got the wrong spirit. Well, the spirit in me quotes the Bible. The spirit in me wants to go to church. The spirit in me wants to be kind to people. Fact is, I feel awful good when I do good things for people. Sure you do. Did you hear me? That's just something about human nature. Yeah, well, that must have been the Holy Ghost. Well, what if you're flat on your back? Yeah, everything's dark. And there's nobody around to encourage you. But you can tune yourself into God. And a presence comes into your life. That's irrefutable. That's the difference. That's what matters. Number two, you preach Christ and crucified, men will listen. They will. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That's what he said. He said, well, preacher, that was in reference to his crucifixion. Well, it certainly was in reference. No question about that. But when you're preaching Christ, are you preaching the crucifixion? Are you lifting him up?
That's right.
Well, of course you are. I will draw all men unto me. And number three, if you preach Christ crucified, the Holy Spirit is at work. And that's everything. Have you ever attended a church that is dead as a doornail, and nobody, they just, they're looking at this. Hey, I remember a preacher saying one time, he said, I saw a guy sitting in the back and he's shaking his watch at me. I'm telling you the truth. He said he was shaking his watch at me. Hey, it's time. Put a big clock up here behind the preacher. Dismissed at 10 till we can beat the crowd to the restaurant. There's a lot of churches just like that. There are. That's a shame. That's so sad. Here's what Paul said. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's two things there that I want you to think about this morning. Take them home with you and meditate on them. Is Christ your life? And do you see the passing from this world as gain? Think about that. Think about that. Something happened a few days ago when I went to see Sister Miller. And if you want to know, you'll have to show up this afternoon. Amen. Because I'm not going to tell you now. But boy, something happened. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time in your house. Bless these dear folk. Lord Jesus, we lift you up high and lift it up. We exalt you. We glorify your holy name. We thank you for coming into this house. The Holy Ghost was in here moving freely in our midst. There's no doubt about it. My goodness gracious. And we thank you for it. That didn't happen because of me. It didn't happen because of anybody. It happened because of Christ. The Holy Spirit lifts up his holy name. That's his way of letting us know we're on the right trail. We're on the right track. We're headed the right way. That's the Holy Spirit's way of letting us know you're doing right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And I don't want anybody looking right now, but maybe there's somebody in the house who would say, Preacher, I need help. Would you pray for me? I'd be glad to pray for you. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. I don't want to kick you down, stomp you. I'm a part of that. Anybody here that say, Preacher Lawson, pray for me because I need help. I need help. God bless you. God bless you. There are hands in here now. We got hands going up all over the place. Thank the Lord. Father, I pray for them now, Lord. I come to thee as a minister of the gospel, Father. Lord, as one that you've set aside and called to preach your word, to help people. Lord, I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm part of that. No part of it or a crowd that does it. And with Bibles in their hands, and they still hurt people. Want no part of it. I'm praying for them. Let the sweet Holy Ghost move in their hearts now and guide them and move them and comfort them, and inspire them, give them light. Whatever they need, Lord, you know exactly. I don't know and don't have to know, but I do know that the presence of the Holy Spirit is everything we need to bring us to Christ, to bring us to God, to bring us to where we need to be, to get help before we walk out of this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand up this morning.